go ahead. Ready to go. You're mute, Sister Lorraine. There we go.
Myself and modern technology does not work well. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Just give me a wave. Oh, that looks really lovely. Thank you. Good morning, church, because usually it's customary to say good morning, Stokey. But we have so many people from around the world. So I'm not going to say good morning, Stokey. I find it for the unforeseeable future. It's going to have to be welcome, home Zoomers. All right? So welcome to all you home Zoomers. Some people like to sit in the garden, some in their bedroom, some in their front room, and some like to have a background drop on the beach. but either way, we just want to welcome you. I thank God for you switching and clicking on to share the day with us. And I pray there will be today in our worship service a little nugget or two, something that you can grab hold on to and take away with you for the rest of the week. So listen out for your little nugget that you ought to. And I pray that throughout the week ahead, you will hold on to them and just keep them in your heart. So if you're a member of our local church, Stokey, we thank you for fellowshipping with us today. And if you're a visitor and looking for a church home, Stokey Zoom welcomes you with open arms. Thank you and welcome. Let us start the service with worship. Bow your heads and close your hearts, please. Most righteous and loving Father, hallowed is your name, worthy art thou to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down. We thank you throughout the course of the day for your goodness and your mercies towards each and every one. You have brought us here, Eternal Father, to worship together. We just thank you, dear God, for the Zoom, or else we will all be separated from one another, unable to see each other's faces. Although we cannot touch, we pray that just by seeing each other's faces, our hearts will be touched and we will be warmed by seeing one another. Father God, only you and you alone can touch our hearts. And we're asking you to do exactly that. But before we go forward, Eternal Father, we just ask, as we go into your courts, that our hearts will be made clean by you. Wash us and cleanse us. Sanctify us, Eternal Father. Renew our hearts, renew our minds. New mercies every day. We thank you for the privilege of going before the brazen laver and washing before we come into your courts. Father, I just want to present before you, Father God, our loved ones. We think of Sister Inez, dear God. We pray that you will place her, we place her into your hands. We know that you will take care of her. we're asking you to do so. The Smiths and the Doyleys, the Baggett sisters, Tony and Errol. Father God, these people are yours. We know that the Brown family and the MacDonald family need you more now than ever. And I just ask that you will take them in the palm of your hands. In your grace and your mercy towards your people, please remember those who are unwell with psychological related issues, such as anxiety, depression, stress, and worry. All our elderly members in our church community. Father God, I pray that you would just lift them up today. Keep their spirits buoyed up. And enable them, dear God, to receive a triple blessing from on high. Remember all our pastors, Father. Pastor Henry. Lord, we know that his hospital procedures have been postponed. I'm excited to see what you're going to do. That you're a miracle working God and all things are possible for you. We pray for Pastor Vincent, our pastor. Father, I pray that you watch over him and his family and enable them to put their complete faith and trust. Please also remember Pastor Mackenzie Durbar. He has been really busy for you and for the community. I pray that eternal Father, you will continue to give him strength and bless his household. And I just present before you our speaker, Pastor. Father God, we look to him to receive the word from you. And I pray that eternal Father, the words of his mouth and the meditations of his heart will be acceptable in your sight. Thank you once again for showing mercy and compassion to your people. And as we come to worship you, may we worship in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name.
Good morning. Good morning. Today's scripture reading, it comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 1 to 8. I will be reading from the New King James Version. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these
but in a Caribbean
of sorrow. Someone needs to mute themselves. And these are the words from Matthew 24, verses 1 to 8. May the Lord bless these words.
Thank you so much, Lorraine and Winston, for starting us out in worship. Can I just ask again that everyone please mute themselves when they come on the system, as it is recording and we get the feedback. Thank you so much. Our special item for today will come from the Stokey Praise Team, and it is the song Come By Here. Let me just prepare myself for my technology and I will start it in a minute. I hope you enjoy it.
Somebody's crying, Lord, come.
I pray that we were all blessed by that as we ask the Lord to come by in all our situations, in all our lives, and be with us when we're going through something. It is now over to you, Pastor Perry, to deliver the word to us. Can you hear me clearly, Pastor Perry?
I can hear you.
Okay, wonderful.
I'm trying to, should I mute or unmute?
No, you're on mute. It's fine. I can hear you clearly.
Well, good morning to everybody. And I'm sorry that you have lost your church, and the church building itself is a lonely place, and that you have made all your homes a little temple for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is... Are you getting me?
Go ahead. Hello? Mr. Perry. Yes, we can hear you.
I'm saying that each home has become a little temple to worship God and to fellowship virtually. I'm quite certain that what God needs is not just a place of worship, but rather that He wants to dwell in the temple of our hearts. The Lord says that through Paul, our bodies are the temple of the living God. And as long as you are in good relationship with Him, then we know that He comes near. He is able to visit every home at the same time, and that is wonderful, that we have a God who knows where we live, who knows our names, a God who cares despite what is happening. I should tell you that I also share your problems. You know, I'm one of those people that the pandemic is looking for. In that, you will observe that my age does not give me much immunity. So I have to make sure that I don't lose my mind in the imprisonment of coronavirus. And I try to find things to do. Maybe I overdo them. Maybe I oversleep sometimes. But all this came so that I can spend sometimes meditating, sometimes with fellowship. I thank God for the many individuals who have helped me. I have not been able myself to go to the supermarket, but God sent angels to help me. And I pray for them every night and for the love that they have shown. Today we are going to just look on a few things. And I thank God that He has provided this medium whereby we can contact each other. You know, this is a generation of inventors. This is a generation going from the 20th century, that they have discovered many things and have done many things. But despite all that have been done, there are some things that we cannot do. And I would a passage of scripture here, and it says, and you know it so much, on it. There was a time when I can't say he had a social problem, but he followed the Lord, built the ark, as you know, and he suffered a lot. Here the children and the pagans insane man. He's an archive, spending all his asset and wealth, building something flow. And say, come, let us make bricks and break them to stone after you. And they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. And people are always building cities. And now the cities have become habitations of infections and all types of problems. And we will not only build a city, but we are going to build a tower. We are going to build a high-rise building. We are going to build a skyscraper to escape what may happen. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed the people are one, and they all have one another's speech. They could understand each other. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the whole face of the earth. These individuals had a mental capacity that was 20 times ours. And the Lord knew that the inventions and imaginations of their minds would allow them to construct evil at a high scale, so much so that the Bible says, and this is how the Bible puts it, he said the Lord came down. In other words, they were intent on doing something. That God did not send a representative. He came down and he spoke and he said, if I don't do something, these people are capable of the highest evil. They want to frustrate the promise that I made that there will be no more water to destroy this earth. And they were constructing their own building and they were constructing ideas that would frustrate the plan of God. But God intervenes every time there is a disaster. God intervenes when we seek to do our own thing. God intervenes. And throughout these centuries, if it were not for the inventions, maybe I would not be here, are the discoveries. The discovery of insulin, the discovery of the radio, and I'm quite certain that you remember the old days with the Murphy Raiders and the magic eye. But then we went to transistors, etc. It was an age when they made the worst arsenal of war. So much so that one president of the United States said, when the atomic bomb was tried, he said, oh God, we have created hell. We have done so much. And the Bible says that God gives us intelligence. God gives us the mind to think. And it says, despite that, man uses this ingenuity in order to multiply evil. And so God is interested. So many people have died. And the fact that I am alive is a sign of his mercy, that if it were not for his mercy, then we all would be consumed. And God is searching, and those of us who are aged And we are over the guideline, over 80. You can imagine how we have been bobbing and weaving, running away from this thing, and our homes have become like a clinic, and our infections and so forth. And I told my wife that in this place is almost like a liquor hospital, because we are trying to prevent the invasion of this pandemic. And there are many who are sad. They have lost loved ones. And you would say that I was facetious, that I went to a funeral this week. And we were all crowded together. But I know that the Lord protects, because he loves us and he cares for us. And I would say to those who are fearful, fear thou not, says the Lord, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'll strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And so I would say to those who are listening and out there in cyberspace, that there is a God above you. There's a God who takes care. And even those who are afflicted from the congregation of the just, that God knows your name, and God lives by your building. He lives, the angels rest with us, and the Sabbath brings a calm. And we need not lose our bearing. We need not talk in negative tones and sing pessimistic songs. And it asks, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I enjoy the music that you provided this morning. And now, Jesus, nearing the end of his journey, went to Jerusalem. I don't know who preached that day. I don't know if Jesus, when he went in Matthew 24 into the temple, had said anything. But one thing I know, that he turned out of that temple, turned his back upon it, for when the Lord is not in the house, it is empty. And the disciples were concerned about building, about the trellises of Jerusalem, the center and the national pride, and all the Jews focus on Jerusalem. They gloried in this structure. They gloried as the sun shone upon the building. And it was not the sermon in the building that day that took the attention of the disciples, but it was just the temple, not the sermon. It is possible that we can focus too much on structure and not realize that there before us is a great future, and that we are going to meet that future with courage. And they asked Jesus about his statements, because Jesus seemed to have been pessimistic when he reacted to their attention on the building. And he said to them, don't believe that the structure will last. It is not the structure, it is the people. Those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And he said, the day is coming when every building will come down. As in Revelation 6, even the mountains and the islands will move out. It is not the building that is sacred, it is God who blesses and put his anointing on those who worship. The church is people. And therefore he said, not one stone. And can you imagine those stones? Large stones, some 5 tons in weight. And how could the Lord destroy his temple? Of course, the Lord does not destroy things. He builds things. But he had to tell them the truth. Not one stone, these big stones, not one slab will be left upon another. You can think about the engineering feat of those who dragged those stones upon that mount in order to build a house to the Lord. You can also extend the point by saying how we have contributed to the building of a church. And Solomon said he has to build this house to the Lord. His father wanted to, but God took a particular attention for the building of the temple that he himself had given instruction how, what to put in the temple as he did with the tabernacle. And so is it. Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. All things will pass, things will pass. But God's people will last. For in them God has implanted the prospect and the promise of eternal life, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Jesus began to tell them that certain things would happen before, that Jerusalem, that beautiful temple where they worship over centuries, would be destroyed by pagans. And then he extended in a global way, a universal way. He said, not only the temple, but also the world will come to an end. The disciples wanted to know if Jesus was talking a parable, or was he prophesying? Was he not concerned that they, the chosen people of God, from Abraham and the promise that was made that he would take care of his people. And if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, that the Lord would make them a national phenomenon, that they would avoid wars. And when they are in trouble, like the pandemic, they would go to the temple and pray. But now Jesus was telling them another story. He says the time is going to come that the first sign that will happen is deception. I am sometimes not angry, but sometimes I feel disturbed and concerned about the scammers who come on the phone, wasting my time, promising me the earth, trying to get at the little coins that I have. And Jesus said, one of the first signs will be confusion in your mind. What to do? And he says, the first sign is that you will be, take care, be alert. You hear the politicians say, what we do, we should keep a distance. We should not hug each other. We should keep our distance. And Jesus said, be alert, because there are going to be false Christs and false prophets. Men are going to try to deceive you, and some of the greatest minds are deceiving so many. And as church members, as Christians, we must be careful, we must be tactful. And that's why Isaiah recorded the words of the Lord. Come now. Don't give up your thinking. Don't give up the wisdom of Scripture. Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord of hosts. God wants to have a conversation with each one of us. And that conversation must go on to the end. Because Jeremiah tells us that the thoughts that God has for us is good. He thinks of our future and he gives us hope. We don't have to give up. Paul tells us that there are three things that will abide: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. These three sisters, hope, love, and you go on, and you think about faith. This is a time for faith. We must live and believe the words of God for faith. We may not see much the evidence. We may not be able to see him, but we can trace him. That we place our confidence. This is a time for faith. This is not a time like the apostles in the storm. And Jesus was asleep. They did not have faith in a Jesus who did not act immediately. They failed somehow in thinking about their mortality. And that while Jesus is there, he says, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, when you are in his store, he knows that you are there. He knows your troubles. He knows your grief. And before you sink or go under, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53, he says he has borne our griefs and our sorrows. And this is a God who bears our pain. He knows what is happening in the world. He knows how many have the virus. He knows how many are going to die. But he also knows how many are going to live, and their faith will be tested, and they shall stand in the storm of life. And you, don't be discouraged, don't worry. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, he said, cast your anxiety, cast your burdens upon him. Let no man deceive you into a false sense of security. The Lord walks with us. While Satan walks, going from place to place, he flies in the air. He travels on the train. He comes to your house. He lies down at the door, as in the case with Cain. He says, sin lies at your door. Yet we have someone who is mighty, someone who says, someone who keeps. He not only says, but he keeps. And he said, let nobody, let not the devil deceive you as he did with Eve. He said, let all the inventions of this world cannot help. Yes, we benefit. Our lives sometimes are lengthened because of the inventions, and it is God who gives man the knowledge. He is still in control in the scientific world, in the laboratories, in industry, in government, because he put up kings on thrones and take them off. And don't be deceived that he is not in control. He is very much there in control. You can trust him. You can have faith in him. And when the clouds are dark, when it seems that there is no place to hide, when it seems as if you are being pursued from one corner to another, you must remember there is hope. Because he gives hope, he is a shelter in the time of storm. He honors a mighty wind. You can find a fortress. And he says, above all, he gives us love. He embraces us. When I went to that funeral, they said, you should not embrace. But the man, the being, the Almighty, the El Shaddai, he has hands that can embrace a nation. And he can embrace each one. And so the signs, he says, don't let anyone, don't let even your mind deceive you. Don't feel that you are alone. Don't let the Laodicean nightmare come upon you. And you seek other alternatives. Yeah.
Get it now, Get it now.
Hello?
Go ahead, Brother Pastor Perry, go ahead.
Yes, let nothing shake your faith. Let no lukewarm atmosphere or water. Let not your eyes be dim to see what is happening around us. Let us place our trust in God. I could give you all the other signs, the signs of pestilences, which are now upon us, reminding us of Egypt. But remember, God is the great physician. And what Satan tries to put on, God takes off. He is the healer. He loves us with an everlasting love. Therefore, members, I challenge you. Listen to the words of Jesus. All these signs will happen, and many have been happening over the years. And some say, we have heard of his coming. What has happened? But we await the time. And the message in Matthew 24 is, be also ready. For in an hour that he think not, the Lord returns. Therefore, concentrate your mind. Lose not your confidence in the one who has will reward you greatly. For behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his word. Have faith in God. But not only have faith in God, but share that faith with others. Great love has been shown in charity and hospitality during this time. Let God make you a better Christian. Let God help you not to think about the things on earth, but the things in heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we see the Savior. I will close, and I think maybe my time has now run out. But we live in unprecedented times with unprecedented problems. But we have an unprecedented God. Who cares? May God bless you all and have a happy, blessed Sabbath.
Thank you, Pastor Perry. Thank you so much for your message today. And I pray that we were all blessed to remember the times that we're living in, but to continue to hold on and have faith because God is still in control. Our closing hymn for today's hymn number 590, Trust and Obey.
Trust and obey, Lord.
over to you, Pastor Perry.
Yes. So, want me to pray?
Please.
I don't hear.
Yes, please, Pastor. Could you pray for us to finish?
Father, you are the Almighty One. Since the small, great havoc globally, that we are in your of your hands. Bless your people, keep them faithful to your word and to your promise. Help us, Lord, to lift up our heads for our redemption. Draw it nigh. I pray for those who have been afflicted. There is the great physician. I pray for those who are mourning, for they shall one day be happy again. Lord, come near. We thank you for the church. We thank you for the faithfulness of those who have tried everything to keep the fellowship together. Thank this Tokenwinton church and those who are out there listening that we still love Jesus, who has done so much for us, that you have given us calmness and comfort in the words, if I go, I will come again. So come, Lord Jesus, we ask, and bless your people today, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Perry, for blessing us with the word today. And I pray that everyone was blessed. And I pray that you enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.
Yes, it's nice having been with you today. And when I see you in the flesh, then when I come back to Stoke-Newington, God's willing, to the location, that I'll be able to then be able even to shake hands.
Yes, absolutely.
May God shield you all at this time. God bless.
Thank
Happy
you.
Happy Sabbath.
Thank you.
Amen. Happy Sabbath.
Thank you.
Happy Sabbath.
Okay.
Nice meeting with you.
Okay, I'm gonna leave this here. Do you want me to take you off, Pastor Perry?
Yes, I see a little red button saying leave.